Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better.
What did they see? Before the age of the earth, they witnessed the creation of the cosmos, both seen and unseen. They saw how the Almighty created, nurtured, and ruled all things. They beheld his indescribable beauty and light, his wonderful kindness and power, his glory. This and much, much more they experienced, they witnessed for untold eons in an environment without time, a spiritual existence. They beheld the discovery of Lucifer's sickness, sin, and his utter demise to become Satan, the deceiver and destroyer. They watched around a third of their fellows become ensnared and enslaved to him. They watched God's patience and mercy. They saw God's beautiful creation become corrupted and completely formless, with darkness everywhere, turbulent seas covering all. They viewed from front row seats the redemptive, creative power of the triune God as he made the earth new. They watched God's patience and mercy. Then, with the creation of mankind, they observed the beginning of the execution of God's plan for redemption and reconciliation. They watched the Father, the Word, and the Spirit make man in the image of the Godhead, a new species designed for fellowship with the Almighty. They saw Adam and Eve listen to the destroyer and break faith with God. They saw the terrible devolution of mankind into violence, darkness, death. They saw the flicker of holy light with Enoch, who walked with God. The crushing dearth when evil angels left their first estate and took wives on earth to toxify the entire race of human beings. They may have cheered with the advent of the one who comforts, that's Noah, and watched with intensity as God shut him in the ark. They learned how sin leads to death in many ways and brings catastrophe. Then God continued his redemptive plan when he chose one man from a place called Ur and led him from there to Haran and then to the land that he promised to give him. They watched the Lord make surprising choices and make outlandish promises to Isaac, Jacob, and then wildly unexpected promotions to Joseph and then Moses. They watched God's patience and mercy. They saw him birth, nurture, and develop a separate nation intended to display God's character to the world, but which perpetually failed to do so. Over and over and over, the Lord sent his prophets, kings, and servants to rescue them from the brink, but they chose to head over the brink. He disciplined them, scattered them, regathered them, reassured them, and all the while, the angels watched. They watched God's patience and mercy. Then came the time established from before the beginning. God's messenger brought the promise of the long-desired Savior. He placed himself in a frail human body and was born to a young maiden, Mary, a virgin. He lived his life in a perfect manner, without sin, and at the right time began to teach about God, demonstrating God's character with kindness, holiness, love, and holy power. The heavenly host saw him suffer and die a most cruel death, rejected by his own people, while accepting the weight, the horrible burden of all our sin, forsaken by the Father, crushed and condemned to hell, where he took all the hellish darkness he carried for us and dumped it there. They watched God's judgment on himself. Then they saw God raise his servant, his son, Jesus Christ, from the grave and exalt him to his own right side. And with that, they watched the birth of a bride, a new spiritual nation living with the Spirit of God within each member. They observed the faithfulness and faithlessness of this new nation and learned that God's grace and love never fail, never, ever fail. This is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what the fellowship of the mystery is, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places." God wants the angels to look in on what he does in the church. And the idea is that the angels are bending over with intense interest and desire to learn. Thank you, Guzik, for that. I'm convinced that it is not about us. It's about God. Oh, they may be interested in us, but the eternal lessons they desire are all on the holy character of their Creator and ours, the Almighty. The main idea behind holiness, you see, is not moral purity, but it is the idea of apartness. The idea that God is separate, different from his creation, both in his essential nature and in the perfection of his attributes. But instead of building a wall around his apartness, God calls us to him, to come to him and share his apartness. He says to us, "Be holy, for I am holy." Thanks, Dave Guzik. Now, this, how God deals with the bride, demonstrates his perfect attributes and is forever fascinating to all the heavenly host.
Now, may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.